And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Tuesday, April 23rd. I am Josh Engelman here to break down today's three-game slate. We tip off at 7:30 tonight, Phoenix and Minnesota, Pacers and Bucks at 8:30, rather, and then Dallas and the Clippers at 10 p.m. We're also brought to you by Sleeper today. So shout out to Sleeper. Make sure you guys hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, and hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Also, follow me on Twitter, at Josh Engelman. What's good, everybody? Good to see everybody here this morning. Incredible, incredible performance out of one Gary Harris yesterday. Love it. Love to see it. Where are all the chirpers from yesterday talking smack on Gary Harris? Where you at, huh? Huh? What'd I tell you? What'd I tell you? John Isaac fade worked out for me a bit. Ultimately, Josh Hart was my undoing. I just did not have enough of him. Couldn't get a lineup to be where I wanted it to be. Pre-lock ROI was fantastic, though. Can't complain there. But, yeah, it's incredible that Gary Harris was able to play basketball yesterday. I didn't think that would be able to happen. All right, I just finished off my sim. So I'm going to drop these lineups in and run my stuff so that we can talk about it a little bit. But fun slate last night. Shout out to that crazy ending for Sixers-Knicks. Shout out crazy ending Nuggets-Lakers. Just wild day, man. Wild, wild, wild day. But for now, we're going to break down everything else. I can't believe Suggs came back. That was nuts. I thought he was done. I thought he was done for the year. That was not... Not the way you wanted to draw that one up. And then all of a sudden, he was just back. Which is crazy. Just didn't see it. Didn't see it coming at all. But I'm just happy I got Gary Harris right. That's really all that matters in life. Did you get Gary Harris right? Yes or no? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. All right, let me run my filter on my lineups quickly. I hope works. I believe that it did. Oh, I'm excited to break down this slate. This one's very different than what we had yesterday. Very different. So I'm really curious to see what my exposures are going to look like because I think we're getting a very different environment than the slate we had yesterday. Antoine Murphy, pre-lock ROI is crazy. What do you mean? ₹31st in the 100K. That's not bad. It's not bad at all. Can't be mad about that. All right, I've got my stuff run. The guy that I expected to be in all of my lineups is in the large majority. I'm going to knock him down a bit. Just for talking purposes. Man, I can't even get close. We have one guy that's going to become a very difficult conversation. So I'm really curious to see this. But let's get into it right now. Let's start breaking down this slate. What do you say? Let's do it. First team up. The Phoenix Suns. 3-point dogs in Minnesota. 212 total. Now, obviously this first game did not go well. For Phoenix, we could take a little bit of a look at what we had there, but Wolves win by 25. Final 3.5 minutes, they pulled the plug. You still got massive minutes out of some of these starters, except for Grayson Allen. But you still got 39 out of Durant, you got 38 out of Booker, you got 37 out of Beal. I like this Phoenix team today in game two, quite a bit, honestly. I think this is a place where you can get a bit different. I love the idea of getting to a team that lost in game one, in game two. Not something I control for, but I like the idea of going that direction. I like, or at least prior to the start of the series, I liked Phoenix in this series. So that makes me a little bit more excited. And you can see it. It's not that I think any of these guys individually grayed out as well as some other plays that we'll see. But it's the ownership that I'm intrigued by. 27% ownership to Beal, and then call it 15 for Booker, 15 for Allen, 15 for Nurkic, 15 for Durant, 15 for Royce O'Neal. I'm over the field on Bradley Beal at 6,400. That price tag is stellar for him if he's going to be playing 38, 39, 40 minutes a night. I'm neutral on Booker. I'm neutral on Nurkic. I'm more than 2xing $8,500 Kevin Durant, and I'm 2xing 4K Royce O'Neal. Now, do I love getting to Royce O'Neal? No, but do I have him projected well? Also, no. 0.72 fantasy points per minute is where I have Royce O'Neal in this spot, but small forward, power forward eligible, 4K. It's putting him in 34% of my lineups. I like that flexibility and I like that price. I like getting to Phoenix here. The only guy that I'm not getting to that the field is getting to is Grayson Allen. He's 5,300. He's shooting guard, small forward. I took his under on Prize Picks for today. I don't like this series for Grayson Allen. Minnesota, obviously exceptional defensively, number one defense. And they limit three-point opportunities. They're either like fourth or fifth or sixth in three-pointers allowed, which is the bulk of Grayson Allen's abilities here. So not only is it good defense, but it is also a team that doesn't like to give up as many threes. So I'm a little nervous about getting to Grayson Allen just because I don't like this spot. You know, if Eric Gordon is playing a little bit better, I wouldn't be surprised if they closed with him over Grayson Allen. I wouldn't be surprised if you ended up losing a little bit of him late just because he's so bad defensively. Grayson Allen in the regular season is going to be a lot different than Grayson Allen in the postseason. He's going to get picked on a lot. He's going to get put in pick and roll a lot. That could be a limiting factor for him. So I like avoiding him, and I'm happy that he's the guy that I'm not getting to. But Bradley Beal, to me, is the guy that looks the best here at 6,400. I mean, we're talking about Beal playing 37 and a half minutes in game one. By all accounts, if that game were close, you expect Bradley Beal to play the final 3.5 minutes. We're talking about 41 minutes. I only gave him 39 here. But I am very, very intrigued by what you can get out of Phoenix today on this three-gamer. Rosso Music. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you've got a question now, obviously ask it whenever you want. But if you've got one tonight, just tag us and make sure I see it. Just let me make sure I can see it. How'd all that magic exposure work out for you? Pretty well. Very happy to have Gary Harris. Happy to have had Franz Wagner. They were my two big magic stands. But yeah, I like Phoenix. 2x the field on Royce O'Neal, 2x the field on Kevin Durant, and close to 2x on Bradley Beal. I can get behind that. And then still have a little bit of Booker and a little bit of Nurkic. I did fade Isaac, which also worked. Yeah, I like this. I like this Phoenix side. Look, I like game. I like the lines in these games. Like, no matter, I know chat is obviously going to have a field day with thinking teams are better than others, but 3-point line in Phoenix, 1-point line in Indy, and 2.5 for Dallas. Like, on paper, these games should be tight. But it doesn't mean that they have to be, but like, there's no immediate blowout, run out type stuff here. I mean, 3-point line for Phoenix. This is a bit of a coin flip matchup. Minnesota getting game one obviously greatly improves their chance of winning the series, but like, this is a coin flip series. And the idea of getting Phoenix coming off of an L, potentially playing Beal or Booker or Durant even more than they are right now, is certainly on the table. Like, you definitely don't want to drop both games. You've got to feel like they're going to let it rip here in Minnesota. But if we're just summing up Phoenix, it's Beal at the top of the list for me. Royce O'Neal 2, Durant 3, Booker and Nurkic a little bit further down the line. If we look at just the boom bust tool from Stochastic, We have six guys, double-digit optimal, basically 15% for Booker, Allen, Nurkic, O'Neal, 20 to Durant, 27 to Beal, which matches his ownership. I really like that positive leverage on Kevin Durant, 20% optimal, 12% owned. Freshka, 3x the other night off my $2 super chat. Thank you, sir. That's what I like to see. Let's put that up on the screen just so people can see it. Looking good. Looking good. So congrats there. So yeah, really liking Phoenix so far. Standing out as a team that I think it's pretty easy to get over the field on. I'm going to refresh my table here just to see where they rank in terms of just general teams. So I have more. They're the third most exposed team for me. I'm about to show the team I have the most of, but it's one guy in particular that's causing my problem. And that's where we get into this. I don't know how you get away from Jaden McDaniels today. And I hate it because he's the last guy that I want to roster. But he's 33% projected owned. Rudy Gobert is 33% projected owned. Conley's around 15. Ant is around 15. Then we've got 10 for Towns, Reed, Walker. I'm also taking a massive stand on this Minnesota side. So it's not just Phoenix for me. I have more of Minnesota than I have any team on this slate. But Jaden McDaniels is doing a lot of the work here. And we need to talk through it a little bit. I think that ownership is too low. I think our minutes are too low. And I think this is going to look a lot different later today than it does right now. We have Jaden McDaniels in for 33 minutes, 24% optimal, 33% owned. I gave Jaden McDaniels 36 minutes, and I almost went more than that. Now, he's in 70-something percent of my lineups. It was actually more, and I walked it back. But we got to think about this. Jaden McDaniel played 37 and a half minutes and didn't play the final 3.3 minutes. Like, if that game's competitive, Jaden McDaniels is playing 40 minutes in game one. I have a really hard time knocking 8 more minutes off of him and taking him down into the low 30s. I think 36 has to be sort of the expectation of what you're doing for Jaden McDaniels today. That's a problem. Is he a good per minute dude? Absolutely not. 0.7 in my model, 0.65 over the past 30 days. I got him at 0.68 in this spot. But 4,100, if he's playing 36 minutes, I think Jaden McDaniels is the number one play on today's slate. You're filling one of the more difficult positions to fill. You're getting it at a value price. And by all accounts, save for foul trouble, that dude's going to be out there a ton. So I don't see how I can get away from him. I think he plays a lot more than we do right now. It's early. It's 10 a.m. That's not a judgment. I just think that we see Jaden McDaniels playing at least 36 minutes. He's the guy that I will likely be most exposed to, but I do expect his outlook to come up for the rest of the day. For the rest of these guys, though, I'm neutral on Rudy Gobert. I don't have much to add. He's going to play around 38 minutes. He's 7,100. I think he looks really good at 33% owned. I think that's right where he should be. We have him a little bit negative leveraged. But the rest of Minnesota, 13% ownership coming into Ant. I have 24. 9% coming into Towns. I have 22. Now, I went 32 minutes for Towns. He played 26 and a half in the first game. Didn't close. So, in theory, he was tracking 30. Feels like tracking 32 for a starter would be the right move in game two. But I'm also a little bit under on Conley, but still getting there. 2xing the $4,800 Naz Reid at power forward center. I gave him 20 minutes. And I still have a little bit of Nikhil Alexander-Walker coming off the bench. But Minnesota and Phoenix, this is the game that I want to get to. I have 318% ownership here. It's the most I have of any game. It's well over the field, whereas Indy and Milwaukee is the most owned game by far. 400% ownership. In that spot, I have 300. Still have it, but not as much. So I think Phoenix and Minnesota is like the GPP game of the three that exist today. If Kyle Anderson plays, I gave him 14 minutes. I'm not all that interested in him. But I just want to get to a lot of this game. Like, Beal is the best dude you can get to on Phoenix. I think McDaniels is the best dude on Minnesota. If you're paying up, though, I mean, 13% owned Anthony Edwards at 8,900, probably playing 39 or 40 minutes. You know, we saw Ant play 36 without having to finish off that game. Give me a load of this entire game. Like, I have Edwards, McDaniels, Towns, Reed, Gobert, Beal, Durant, and Royce O'Neal, all north of 20%. So my recommendation coming out of this first game, because I don't really think Minnesota is going to be making all that many changes. I think you're going to see that same starting five be out there a lot, even though it was the Naz, Reed, Gobert, Nikhil Alexander-Walker combo that really put it on Phoenix on the bench. But yeah, I like this. I like this quite a bit. Phoenix, Minnesota, first game of the night, best game of the night in the large field GPPs. Yeah, I said it. All right. Hit that like button if you haven't yet to the 360 people that are in here. It's going to be fun. No more promos for you guys. I hope you took advantage of the playoffs promo code for Odd Shopper and then for the DFS side, but that ended yesterday. So I just kind of want you guys to follow us in all of the places that you can, whether that's our Twitter accounts like @stochastic_com or any of the individual sport accounts. Subscribe to this YouTube channel. Subscribe to the Odd Shopper YouTube channel. Follow us on TikTok. Follow us on Instagram. All of that kind of stuff. And then sign up at Stochastic. We still have every package that we had before. We just don't have a promo code for it. But whether that's NBA Sims, MLB Sims, MMA Sims, NASCAR Sims, PGA Sims, no matter what you're playing on the DFS side, we have it for you guys. And you can all sign up by clicking the links in the description of this video. Man, this iced coffee hitting today. My iced coffee matches my shirt. Make a promo. You got the juice. There may or may not be a baseball one coming soon. Smokey, that's awesome, man. And Keith, thank you for the super chat. I assume your goal was to ask a question. So if you do, just drop it into chat. I'll see it. All right. Indiana. This is a spot where I am pretty well under the field, but there's obviously some good plays here. This is the game that people are attacking, unsurprisingly. There's no defense in Indy and Milwaukee. So for the Pacers, 1-point dogs in Milwaukee. And we have a 221 total here. I expect Indiana to look very similar to what they did in the first game. We saw a pretty firm play from their starting rotation. You know, we got 30 minutes out of everybody. We got 40 out of Siakam, 38 out of Halliburton, 37 out of Nesmith. We got 32 out of Turner. Like, they didn't do anything too crazy. They did stagger Siakam in the second half, but he was obviously cooking. So I don't really see too much to, like, worry about from a Pacers rotation standpoint. I wouldn't be surprised if they cut McDermott or Ben Shepherd soon enough and started to consolidate, but as I see it right now, we have 37% ownership coming into Miles Turner. I have him ranked third overall. I agree with that ownership. I have 34%. Oh, this is about to get really wild. If you guys can see the screen, you're about to see all, some of the ridiculous things I'm about to say. I have Aaron Nesmith ranked fourth. He's 33% owned. He's in 46% of my lineups. 5K shooting guard, small forward, playing 36 minutes. I'm going to take my chances there because that dollar amount and position is hard to get. Like, it's hard to avoid on a day like today. But we got to talk about the guys that are really pulling the ownership. I assume you guys can see it on the screen. We have Pascal Siakam projected for 51% ownership. I actually have him ranked sixth for today. He's in 2% of my lineups to start the day. It appears I am going to be strongly fading Pascal Siakam coming off that big first game. Now, we gave Siakam 40 minutes, 39.7. I gave him 39. I have him projected for 45 fantasy points. So do we. We have him 39% optimal, 51% owned. So, as I look at it, a little bit too much. Now, am I excited to have so little of Siakam? No. And I hope that I could work that up into that like 25 range. I don't want this extreme of a fade. But at that ownership, I think it's kind of easy to get away from Pascal Siakam and get to something else in that range. Similarly, 31% exposure to TJ McConnell at 4,600. I'm happy to get away from that as well. I only have 8%. I think his minutes are relatively limited in the playoffs. I think they're going to struggle to play him because of his lack of shooting and the fact that he is going to be the guy that gets put into every single pick and roll when he's on the floor. I think they ultimately lean more on Nembhard just because of the defense. So I'm way light on TJ McConnell. I'm way light on Pascal Siakam. And then I only have 10% of Tyrese Haliburton at 8,800. He's just not healthy. I mean, there's no way around it. He's not looking for his shot in the same way that he was at the beginning of the season. And that really limits the ultimate upside of Haliburton. So I'm happy that I'm light here because that doesn't necessarily come out in the stats right now. But I'm just not a believer that Tyrese Haliburton is a healthy basketball player. And it makes me happy to be light. So my stands are only Turner and Nesmith. I have enough of Nembhard to match the field, but big fade of Pascal Siakam, big fade of TJ McConnell, big fade of Tyrese Haliburton. All right, circling back to Keith. He gave the super chat. He said, just wanted to thank you for all your help. You have helped out Cash Game. Oh my God, let me try reading that again. Just wanted to thank you for your help. You have helped cash out a lot of games. I just listen and take notes. I'm from North Carolina also. North Carolina raised up, man. Thanks for being here. And then Hoffbrow in the house. Big old super chat. Big old super chat. Learned how to play DFS years ago watching my dude Josh's videos. Still the best host in the industry. Couldn't agree more. It's definitely not Laffy. Hope all is well and go Bayern. No problems with Bayern. I appreciate you allowing us to take on Ryan Gravenberch because he's my dude. You guys should have kept him. But Hoffbrow, man, always loved seeing your avatar at the top of contests. Love seeing it. All righty. Well, let's get to the Milwaukee side now. We got to walk through the fact that Damian Lillard had 35 real points in the first half of game one and proceeded to score 0 points in the second half and basically not have fantasy points in the second half, ultimately leading to Damian Lillard being a -6 plus minus, which is curious to see. The nuke from last night was, I don't remember. Definitely not Bogey. Who the hell was the nuke of the night last night? I really don't remember. Yeah, Franz was definitely exotic. I can't remember who my nuke of the night was. Now, Franz wasn't it. I didn't pick Gary Harris, although I should have. Trying to look at the names now to figure out who I thought it was. Ah, was Evan Mobley. He recovered a little bit. 17-7-1 and two stocks. Yeah, LeBron definitely worked out a little bit better there. I wish I would have taken Jared Allen. I had a ton of out. I played like 60% Jared Allen. I wish I would have said it was him. That would have looked good. All right, let's go to Milwaukee now. So I'm expecting the same rotation, essentially, that we got last time out. Fading Bobby Portis again, baby. Here we are again. 57% owned Bobby Portis. He is in 2% of my lineups. Patrick Beverley is also 50% projected owned. He's in 52%. So I'm a believer in the Patrick Beverley ownership. I have him ranked second. I am not a believer in the Bobby Portis ownership. I have him ranked 12th. I think that Bobby Portis is massively overowned. We have Portis 32 minutes, 39 fantasy points, 42% optimal, 57% owned. We have even bigger negative leverage on Pat Bev. I just think it's pretty easy to get away from Bobby Portis in this spot. Certainly scares me. Would definitely like to get a little bit more as we get closer to lock, but I just think that you can find other things in that range where you don't have to go to a guy that's in 57% of the lineups. That's a bit, like at 6,800, you need 40 plus fantasy points out of Bobby Portis. That doesn't have to happen. It just doesn't. Like, he played 31 minutes last time out. I gave him 31 minutes. I don't think they're going to have him out there much more than that. Does he look good? Yeah. Are you playing him in cash games? Of course. He's one of the first dudes you're clicking on. But without question, he's going to be a guy that I'm lighter on in large field GPPs. Now, I am getting to the rest of Milwaukee well over the field here. 2Xing Brooke Lopez at 5,400. Absolutely fine with it at 5,400. You know, center only, sure. But I have him ranked fifth. $9,300 Damian Lillard. 20% owned. I've got 48%. Yeah, so I'm 2Xing Lillard and I'm 2Xing Brooke Lopez. We have Lillard 21% optimal, 20% owned. We have him at 50 fantasy points. I'm a little bit higher than that. I love this spot. The matchup is great. I don't think they could really slow him down. Curious to see what they start doing matchup-wise, who they start putting on him. I think they're going to go to Nesmith in the near future. I don't know what that's going to look like, but big stands for me. I got 36% of my boy, Chris Middleton. I obviously have a ton of Bev. I have 50% of Lopez, Lillard, and Beverly. And it's not as if I'm light on Chris Middleton either. I'm getting to four of the five main dudes from Milwaukee. I'm okay if I have to fade one of them. Like, if Lopez and Lillard and Middleton and Beverly have good games, Bobby Portis won't have a good game as well. There's only so much you can get from one individual team. So as I see it, I want to be light on Bobby Portis. I want to be over on Lopez and Lillard. And I think the value for Pat Bev and the minutes for Pat Bev, along with the same situation for Middleton, particularly at small forward, makes it a little bit harder to get away from those guys. The Bucks are playing better with Giannis. How do you do it, man? I don't know how you manage to do it. You're either the best troll or the most natural troll. There is zero scenario where the Bucks will play better without Giannis. Yeah, like, look, the fate of Bobby Portis is not going to be fun. And when we get to lock, I will have more than 2%. I don't make any manual adjustments in the morning, other than I stopped Jaden McDaniels from being in 98% of my stuff. But, you know, I figure I end up at like 15-20. I'm just going to be light. All right, again, don't forget to hit that like button. We're up to 450 people. We have more people in here right now than we did for most of the end of the regular season, which is making me feel pretty good about it. So I'm glad you guys are tuning in to start off the day like this. It's going to be a great slate. Now we have 90 minutes off once Indy and Milwaukee ends. We get to Dallas and the Clippers. So let's talk about Dallas. Now, the Mavs, not my favorite squad here. Dallas is the team I have the least of. 74%. They're 78% owned. So this is the lowest owned game. The Mavs are the lowest owned team, and they're my lowest owned team. The Clippers are the second lowest owned team, and they're my second lowest owned team. Now, game one didn't go well, but you got 42 minutes out of Luka. You got 39 out of Kyrie. You got 37 out of PJ Washington. After that, they can kind of play anybody because they're all shitty. And it's all just going to be a hot hand situation, I think, moving forward for Dallas, other than those three. So as we look at the Mavs, only three guys are getting ownership. 20% to Kyrie, just shy of 20% to Luka, and 20% to PJ Washington. And I completely agree with it. I don't think anybody else is worth getting over 10% of. I have 20% of Kyrie, 20% of Luka, and about 20% of PJ Washington. I don't know what else you do here with Dallas other than play those three guys, but not go crazy. Like, Luka's 11-9. If you like him, that's fine. He's going to project for the highest raw score today. It's not going to be all that close. But at the same time, you got to find the value. You need to find today's Gary Harris if you like the idea of getting to Luka Doncic. So I'm right around the field because there's not a ton of value. I'm right around the field on Kyrie, who obviously had a massive quarter in that last game. But, you know, it's not a guy that I want to take a massive stand on. It's a tough matchup against the Clippers. And then PJ Washington, that's just a minutes play. He's available at power forward. The salary is fine. You know, he's not good. The dude just can't seem to shoot the way that you want him to any longer. Or maybe because he couldn't ever, but he's going to get shot attempts and he's going to get clean looks. I'm happy to get around 20%. And you can see it in the boom bust tool. Luka at 21% optimal, Kyrie and PJ Washington both around 17. That's really all you're going to be excited to get to. Can you roll the dice on Gafford? Yeah, but it's scary. Can you roll the dice on Lively at 3,800? Yeah, but it's scary. Maybe Derek Jones falls into a bunch of minutes, but he's bad per minute. Exum could see more minutes, but he's bad per minute. Maxi Kleba could see more minutes. He's bad on a per minute basis. Maybe they play Josh Green more. He's bad on a per minute basis. They don't seem to be playing Tim Hardaway. He's not someone you want to get to. I find Dallas to be really easy to talk about. You get to Maxi, or you get to Washington, Doncic, and Irving. And then, like, if you get a share of Daniel Gafford or something, I think it's okay, but I don't know how you prioritize anything from Dallas other than their main dudes. I just don't find it. Like, this is the worst spot you can get to. It really is. So minimal exposure to me coming out of Dallas, around 20% for Irving, Doncic, and Washington. Now, the Clippers are basically not able to be talked about right now. Kawhi's questionable. I think he's really questionable. The fact that the Clippers won the first game makes me think that he's going to sit today with the hope that they can go up 2-0. It's all hypothetical. I don't have a great feel. Good news is he's 8K. Paul George is 8,100. You should probably be able to find $100 to move around if you need to drop Kawhi for PG or something like that. Like, it should be enough to be able to move around. 26% ownership coming into Ivica Zubac. 20 to Terrence Mann. 10 to 15 on Harden, George, Westbrook. 10 to Norm Powell. Now, we don't have Kawhi Leonard in the ownership right now. We didn't project Kawhi Leonard in. I did. It's hard to really say anything here. I certainly am a big fan of Ivica Zubac in this spot. 5,800. I'm 2xing the field. He had a massive game in game one, and I think this series is going to lend him into those sorts of spots moving forward. I like this matchup for him against no matter what center's out there, whether it's Gafford, whether it's Lively, whether it's Maxi Kleba. I want to get to Zubac, and I'm very happy that he's one of my most exposed guys. Terrence Mann's a tricky one. I went 28 minutes with the assumption Kawhi is in, and I still get to him. If Kawhi is out, I think you're projecting Terrence Mann for something in the 30s, 33, 34, 35. Mann played 38 and a half minutes in game one. He already looks good to me at 4,100 in 28 minutes. To me, he's going to be, you know, 40 or 50% owned if we get to a point where Kawhi Leonard gets ruled out. After that, I think it all depends on whether or not we get Kawhi. Like, Harden looks okay, but if Kawhi's back, it takes a bite out of him. Paul George looks okay, but if Kawhi is back, it takes a bite out of him. Norm Powell, I'm very not interested in, but I assume this will be when he rebounds. But it's really hard to want to play Norm Powell if Kawhi is back. It's really hard to want to play Russ if Kawhi is back, because somebody's going to have to cut some minutes. Amir Coffey's minutes will go away. But if Kawhi ends up out, then we get Amir Coffey starting and playing into the 20s, and you could talk about him as value. You get a bump to Harden's usage and Harden's assist rate. You get a bump to Paul George's usage rate and assist rate. Russell Westbrook can probably grab a couple extra minutes and some usage if Kawhi Leonard happens to end up out. This is just a tough one to talk about. I'm hoping we get the answer early enough, but you got to be ready to late swap tonight for Dallas and the Clippers, because this Kawhi status matters. Now, I don't think you can play Kawhi tonight. I went 33 minutes. I don't think that they just immediately play him like 39 in a spot like this. So he's going to have a hard time looking as good as other guys, because his minutes range is probably going to be a lot lower. But if Kawhi is in, it just makes it so you don't want to get to the Clippers all that much. If Kawhi ends up out, though, all of the ownership that you see for the Clippers is going to go up pretty dramatically. Everybody gets a bump, including guys like Terrence Mann, who go from good plays to chalk plays. So let's keep our eye on the status of Kawhi. Look, nobody knows anything. All we can do is hypothesize this stuff. So let's look at my entire table, and we can just get an idea of what I'm looking at, what I'm playing, what I'm not playing, all that other good stuff. So you can see my number. These guys are in order of my ranking. McDaniels at the top, Pat Bev, Miles Turner, Aaron Nesmith, Brook Lopez, my top five. I have 34% of all of these guys. Siakam becomes the fade. Bobby Portis becomes the fade. But you can see, even in my top 12, if we draw the line at Portis, I've got 30% or more of everybody in my top 10. I'm very concentrated on what I'm trying to do. But those two big fades, I'll add a little bit to them later, but those look like they're guys that I'm going to be a little bit under the field on. My biggest stands. That's not what I wanted to do. My biggest stands. Jaden McDaniels. Ivica Zubac. Damian Lillard. And Brook Lopez. All four of those guys, I'm 20% or more over the field's ownership number. Same situation on the opposite side, though. Negative 55%. For Portis, negative 49 for Siakam, two massive fades. Negative 23 for TJ McConnell, my third biggest fade. And then three more guys, 10% below. Grayson Allen, Tyrese Halliburton, Russell Westbrook. But for me, if we're saying who is the number one guy today, I think it's pretty clearly Jaden McDaniels. That minute ceiling is massive. The salary is manageable. The position is tough to fill. Like, what do we have in terms of guys that can play small forward today? Here are your small forward options. McDaniels, Nesmith, Siakam, Middleton, Royce O'Neal, Edwards, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Paul George. I guess you include Grayson Allen. That's everybody over 10%. We have the answer as Siakam. Feel like that's obviously totally fine. On paper, he probably is that best overall guy because of the ownership. But yeah, to get that 41, like, look at the prices on these guys. 5K, 78, 74. Then you get Royce O'Neal at 4K. But he's half the ownership of McDaniels, and he should be. Royce O'Neal is, I have projected, 10 less minutes. Nikhil Alexander-Walker is also 4K. I have him projected for 12 less minutes. Becomes very difficult. The playing time for McDaniels is something that I just can't get away from. It's not going to be fun, But at 4,100, you need 24 fantasy points to feel pretty good about it. That's right where I have him. I have him 47% likely to hit that 24-point score. I mean, we're talking about flipping a coin on Jaden McDaniels for being a necessity today. I can't get away from that. That value, those minutes, that price, that position, it's the best thing for me. That's what I want the most out of anybody here. But the Kawhi Leonard news is the only real piece of information that we're like truly waiting on that I think matters. Like Kyle Anderson will matter a little bit, but not nearly to the extent that McDaniels will matter. That Kawhi Leonard will matter. Well, that's where we're at, folks. Anybody have any questions before we get out of here? We can hit on anything you guys want. Harden or Paul George on FanDuel? Hard to answer that until we know more about Kawhi. If Towns gets more time, who loses out? Probably a little bit of Naz Reid, probably Kyle Anderson. Monty Morris could just like not play any time at all. I don't think it matters too much if Towns gets more playing time. Mark, yeah, it might not be that I stay late on playback, but I might pop back in, but I can go a little bit longer today because I just have nothing else going on. I expect Grayson Allen to play, so I'm not really concerned with it. Ooh, that's Demetrius, that's an interesting one. Man or McDaniels if Kawhi is out? Man will be more owned for sure. And I think he'll look better on paper. Man will just be a better option because he's point guard, shooting guard instead of just small forward. But if Kawhi is out, then Terrence Mann is going to jump to the top of the list of like most owned dudes. But that'll be an interest. Like that's sort of the interesting decision piece that changes up the slate a lot. Alrighty, folks, I'm gonna duck on out of here. Let me hit you guys with the schedule though for the rest of the day. I don't want to forget because we got a lot of content coming up. VODs, live shows, etc. So I don't want to miss it. I don't want to get any of it wrong. Here we go. Schedule for the rest of the day. MLB strategy show with Laffy and Bellman coming up next. 5:30 MLB live before lock with Greg and Bellman. 6:30, you get myself and Eric back for live before lock. And then Greg and I will hop on at 7:30 for playback to watch these games. So here we go, folks. That's where we stand. Thank you for being here. I love doing this show. It's fun to break down these playoff slates. I can't wait to watch these games again. It was fun to watch them yesterday as well. Good luck tonight. Enjoy everything. And remember, Jaden McDaniels is today's Gary Harris. We'll see you later.